Welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast, post-game edition, Monday night edition, Patriots beating the Giants 33-15 to get to 11-2 on the season. Craig, we saw some ridiculously good quarterback play on the Patriots side. We saw some outrageously bad quarterback play on the other side. We saw maybe the field goal attempt of the century, but we'll start with the positives. Patriots win. They go to 11-2. I kind of look at this as another, you know, offensive line injuries be damned, another great Drake May performance.
Yeah, it was definitely a great performance by May. I think their whole team in the first half was their best 30 minutes of football for the entire season, followed by a very uninspiring 30 minutes in the second half. But that first half was, I mean, I took some notes, 269 yards to 104. May alone, 207 yards, two touchdowns, eight different receivers with a catch in the first half. And it's what's going to make them hard to beat in the playoffs is that there's a lot of guys that can make plays on this team. Nobody's necessarily a superstar other than obviously the quarterback emerging as one. But I just think that they have a lot of weapons now. They have a lot of ways they can beat you. I thought the offensive line played well. It's just the physicality of the game Monday night. I thought they really brought the energy knowing that they were on the national showcase in prime time. And just, you know, everything about that first half was, you know, what you want to see out of this team. And then it was just cruise control after that.
Yeah. Drake May 24-31, 282, two touchdowns. Hunter Henry late was the only receiver to go over 50 yards.
Yep.
Ended up with 73, but other than that, no one caught more than four balls, spread around a ton. I thought he handled the offense well. The lead story, you know, offensive line talk is boring, but the lead story of this game was the offensive line, was the fact that you have no Will Campbell, no Jared Wilson. Garrett Bradbury ended up playing. Yeah. But I thought the left, you know, he was sacked three times. One of those was him sliding before the line of scrimmage. You know, nothing on the offensive line right there.
Didn't take a lot of big hits.
Yeah. No, he only lost 6 yards on his three sacks. So, again, maybe for another day, but it is an interesting conversation to say who's done a better job coaching this season, Josh McDaniels or Doug Marrone, because the offensive line has just looked completely fine almost every game this season, and missing two guys today. So kudos to them. Kudos to Kyle Williams, by the way. Really great touchdown catch on a great pass from May, but good to see him stick out as well. What else stuck out to you in this win?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it off the top with Jackson Dart, and I feel like the best play from a Giants quarterback tonight was Jameis Winston pointing at the ball as to where Bryce Behringer's shanked punt landed. This game needed Jameis. I mean, my God, Jackson Dart.
It did.
I mean, look, he's got potential, and he has the ability, but it's like, dude, you got to get out of bounds. Like, you can't be taking those hits like that. That was freaking insane, Rob. I can't believe he got up. I mean, kudos to his toughness, but
he's so dumb. He's so dumb. He just missed two games due to a concussion. It was his second time this season that he's suffered a head injury. And he goes out there and he took a sack before that hit. He took that sack where he, at the last second, slid down and got and took the shot from Landry, which obviously not a penalty. And then he stays in bounds and lets Christian Ellis absolutely de-cleat him out of bounds. Another legal play. Another play he took so many stupid hits coming off a concussion. This guy is – and I don't hate the way he throws the ball. And he's obviously mobile, but, like, what a moron.
No, and I think he's going to be good. Like, I think the Giants have their quarterback. I just, like, again, I don't understand some of the coaching in this league. And I know Mike Kafka is an interim head coach, but you see what they did last week, throwing, you know, reverse flea flickers and all these kind of trick plays to try to beat the Lions. And it's like, now you get fourth and inches down by 20 before halftime. And you're like, nah, let's take the delay of game and punt and then immediately give up 50 yards there.
And second, you don't take a delay of game when you're in your own territory. The delay of game is to give the punter room.
Right.
So they were at like their own 40.
Yeah, just
so
punt
they
the ball.
So they ended up punting from like the 20-yard line. It was just a terrible decision. Then the Patriots score. They kept – I know that one was a fair catch, but they kept punting to Marcus Jones, who scored a touchdown, obviously, in this game. So the Giants were poor this game. Jackson Dart, I thought, was just played like a moron. And
It was just nice to see the Patriots come out and play a physical brand of football and just be like, you know what? We're the number one seed. We're one of the best teams in football. You're one of the worst teams in football. We're going to show it. Like, this is how you want them to play against some of these, you know, these tomato cans. And I just think that they really sent a message, I think, to the rest of the league with that first half play, where it's like the second half, the crowd's just doing sing-alongs the whole second half.
Yeah, big hits all around. Christian Gonzalez even had a big hit. And Carlton Davis had a couple nice defensive plays. They definitely stood out. I thought the defense, again, very good game today. I know they gave up the second touchdown and whatnot, but I thought they played well today. I thought this was one of their better defensive games overall. Again, the Giants stink.
Yeah.
Their defense is especially atrocious. So, you know, mm-hmm. their offense is actually not like terrible, but their defense is atrocious. And I thought the Patriots did a good job taking advantage of it. You're right about the physical play though. That stood out. It did feel like a message, and it's good to see them be the aggressors at home. You mm-hmm. need to establish that home dominance again, get the crowd into it. That sort of thing.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot on this pod about the slow starts, specifically for the defense. And obviously we've talked a little bit about it with May and some high throws in some of these games, you know, out of the gate, but again, just absolute dominant. Felt like they were scoring on every drive. And they only punted once in the first half, and it was on a fourth and one that I'm sure Vrabel was tempted to go for it. But
yeah,
and Marcus Jones again just electrifying, you know, the crowd and just getting so much momentum. It's just like it felt like an avalanche at that point. I mean, he is so good on those punt returns. You know, one thing that, you know, not to get ahead of myself, but I will. One of the things that in the Patriots' first Super Bowl run, that first Super Bowl that they won, you know, Troy Brown had a big punt return in the AFC title game. They had some others in the game against the Raiders. And I think Marcus Jones is going to be a pivotal player come playoff time. And I just, if they get a chance to give him space, he's going to flip the field. I mean, he's that good in the return game.
I agree. You know what's funny is the one player who still gives me a little bit of pause come playoff time is also on special teams, and that's Borgalis, who even when he makes a field goal, I don't like the way the ball comes off his foot. I really don't. He line drives it. It's got some side spin. Nothing about his kicks look pretty to me, and I know he was 4-4 last week, 4-5 this week. It just doesn't look good. That's like one small concern.
No, but it's a good thing to bring up, though, Rob, because, you know, it is, as you know, from living here and where we went to college and where you're from originally, it's getting colder here. And it was nice to see May obviously not be affected whatsoever by the cold. And again, there was very little wind. It was just cold. It's not like there was a lot going on weather-wise. But yeah, I do worry about the kicker a little bit. And it's not so much that you worry about the kicker. You also worry about them going 1-5 in the red zone. And it's like, if you're not finishing drives and you need your kicker to hit these field goals, and every point's going to be, you know, be critical in your face in some of these better teams in the playoffs.
The Patriots continue, despite how good they are and how unbelievable of a team they are in between the 20s, they continue to have one of the worst red zone offenses in the NFL and the worst red zone defense in the NFL.
Why do you think that is, Rob? Why do you think they struggle in the red zone offense?
So, offensively, I don't know. That actually concerns me, because I think Josh McDaniels is obviously a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, we've praised him.
They obviously don't have a problem moving the ball. I would say the number one reason is because they're very bad at running the ball. I don't think they're a very good run team. I know Henderson had a couple of nice runs late, but they're averaging like 3.5 yards per carry, three quarters of this game.
Yep.
And it feels like they become one dimensional down there because they can't run it in.
Mm-hmm.
And when the worst thing you want is to be in the red zone and have the team know that you're going to pass, because there's just no room down there. So maybe that's the reason. You might have to come up with some like misdirection, goofy stuff down there. You know, the shovel pass, the little bubble screen to like a bunch of four guys like that. You know, you're going to have to come up with some goofy things down there.
Do you think they need to get May on
some of that for the playoffs? I don't know.
I feel like they need to get May on the run a little bit more when they're in the red zone. Like get him outside the pocket, get him moving where he's not trying to, obviously he's tall, so he's not, you know, having trouble seeing over the defensive line, but just wondering if it's worth utilizing his skills as a, you know, mobile quarterback and try to get him, you know, a play action fake or, you know, just something where he's kind of rolling out as opposed to, and I do hate the rollout where you're eliminating half the field, but if it's a roll right and throw it back left, like he's got the arm strength to do it. I trust his decision-making. I don't know. I feel like that's something that should be one of the things they work on during the bye week.
Yeah. And I think the reason they don't want to roll out that often is because it crowds all that space over there.
Sure.
Yeah. I would say if you do put him on the move, I think one of the options there is to run. I think you have to give him okay, you're rolling out. If they're chasing these guys, you got to just take off.
And they may release him. They may send him out into the wild a little more running the ball. Once we get into the playoffs, where you don't want him taking hits in week 13 or whatever week we're in.
And the defense, it's funny. The Slayton, they definitely scored. The Giants definitely scored in the red zone, their second touchdown. The first one might have been from outside the red zone.
Yeah, it was like a 30-yard
play. But either way, they didn't have any other trips down there I remember. So, it's weird. It's weird that happens. On the Giants touchdown, I don't want to focus too much on the negative, but on the Giants' first touchdown, I wonder, Zach Kerr blitzed a lot in this game, a lot. And I wonder if that's the opponent where it's like, we can afford to, we're going to be up. Jackson Dart doesn't handle it well. Maybe it was that. They kind of got burnt. It's weird. That first touchdown, I think they ended up sending five guys, so I think it counts as a blitz, but they were rushing seven.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them almost got past the line of scrimmage and then backed out. They got way too much depth. And then the secondary, I don't know what they're doing. So that was funky. I would blitz less if I were the Patriots coming up in their next two games, which I kind of want to ask you about because this Giants game, this thing is OVA. We will get back to Younghoe Koo. We will get back to Younghoe Koo in a second.
We must.
Do you, I would say, like, what are you most confident in?
Yeah.
In this, with this team going into the Baltimore and Buffalo games, and what are you like sitting in the back of your mind? Like, this could be exposed in the Baltimore Buffalo games.
I don't have as
much. And I know they're different teams, but
I honestly, from what I've seen the last 3-4 weeks, I'm gaining more and more confidence in this team and I'm not as worried. You know, look, Josh Allen's good. Are the Bills the same team as they've been the last 4 or 5 years? No, they're not. But could they easily come in here and win? Absolutely. Like, they're good enough to come in here and win. Do I think, obviously, coming off the bye week, we saw what the Bills did running the football the other day.
Yeah.
Who did they play? I'm trying to remember.
Pittsburgh.
That's right. When they ran all over Pittsburgh. Do I worry about that with no Williams? Absolutely. But I think the Patriots, I don't have any concerns necessarily that are overarching. I think the things we've talked about, they got to finish in the red zone offensively. Mm-hmm. I think they got to play a complete game. Like, I think they just took the whole second half off tonight.
Yeah, I would have
too.
Which you can take the second half off. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have. It feels like a wasted opportunity recording this at 11:30 at night when we could have done it at 9:30. But
yeah,
be that as it may, I don't have that many concerns. It sounds like you might have some, though.
I am afraid of the Pats' inability to run the ball.
Okay.
That would be my concern against good defenses. The Giants are one of the worst. I think they're like the worst run defense in the league. And it took a couple late Trevion Henderson runs to make the numbers look respectable.
Yeah.
It's one thing I feel like as it gets colder, the opponent gets better. I'd like to be able to lean on the run game a little bit, especially with leads. The Patriots feel like they haven't had to play, like, be too concerned about playing from ahead because they've been up big.
Yeah.
But that's like one little thing that concerns me. And it's funny, defensively, they feel fine to me. I know they've done such a good job against the run,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like they've put so many bad teams. So I just wonder and they're in running like a defenses, game.
Yeah. It's gotten worse since Williams has been out.
Yeah.
Jets so ran I just, a while, the Bengals did. And tonight,
I wonder about that a little bit.
Yeah. I guess they've won 10 in a row. It's very hard to be worried about a lot of things. Could they lose? Of course. I mean, look at all the teams that lost this week. I mean, Thanksgiving,
tons of them. We'll get to that.
Kansas City lost, Rams lost, Ravens lost. You know, a lot of teams are losing. So it's nice to just get a W. Before we get to Young, we'll get to Young Wei Koo.
Yeah.
I have two beefs that I got to get off my chest here.
Give them to me.
The one, can we please, and I used to work in TV, I understand how this stuff works. Can we please stop? And you don't know where I'm going with this.
I have no idea.
Makes me so happy.
No idea.
Can we please stop with the Mike Vrabel Super Bowl highlights as a player? Can we stop acting like he wasn't one of the best defensive players for this team for a decade? Yes, he made some catches in the Super Bowl. He was phenomenal on that side of the ball when he was in there. He did other things.
Like, yeah,
he made such a big play in the first Super Bowl, helping force Kurt Warner into the interception that Ty Law returned for a touchdown. He had a million. He had some great sacks against the Chargers in the playoff games. He had many double-digit sack scenes. Like, can we mix in a defensive highlight? Can we please do that?
Yeah, they'd have to find them. That's the problem. Like, they don't feel like researching it.
The Eagles flapping like against Super Bowl 38 or not 39. Like, enough. That's one.
All right. What's the other one?
The other one. And we texted about this, so I think you have an idea where I'm going with this. The analytics conversation. I can't do it. I can't do it, Rob. And what started this conversation was obviously, I know the Giants did it tonight, but the Eagles in the Black Friday game, they were down 9 and they went for 2 and they didn't get it. And then, of course, wins out of the sales. Like, I love math. I talk math with my son all the time. I appreciate numbers and stats and all that stuff. My God. Can we make it a one-score game so that there's a human element that your defense is coming into this being like, if we get a stop, we're going to get the ball back. We're going to tie this game. Like, this is ridiculous.
I can't do it anymore. I'm 100% with you on this. And this is what confuses me. So the explanation I always read is if you go for the 2 down 9, mm-hmm. you then know how many possessions you need the rest of the way. It's about gathering the information as early as possible.
Yeah.
My rebuttal is, if you kick the extra point, you know you need one possession. Like,
yeah.
What? Why are we pretending like the extra point doesn't change the
math
there?
Yeah, I know.
It does.
If you kick
the extra point, it is a one possession game. If you don't get the 2, it's a 2 possession game. Like, if there's 3 minutes left in the game, you're not getting 2 more possessions to score.
No, so it's irrelevant.
So what are we doing here?
And if you are, one of them has to be an onside kick. So just to play it back for the Eagles conversation, it was what, about like 3.5 minutes left?
3.5 minutes left.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah.
And you could kick the ball deep, down by 8, get a stop, get the ball back with 2 minutes left, and you have plenty of star power on offense where it's conceivable that you could score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion.
Yeah. And if you don't get the 2-point conversion there, fine, but like, you had a chance to tie from the 2-yard line,
right? And also, if you don't get it, let's say you score that and you're down by 2, you miss the 2-point conversion, you're still trailing by 2 with 15 seconds left,
then
you do the onside kick.
Yeah,
if you recover it, you need what in today's NFL, you need 10 yards,
yep.
And you could try a field goal, you win it that way.
It
blows my mind how stupid and how, like, the people that believe this shit are so, like, closed-minded to think that, oh my God, you know what, if they just got the ball back, like, if we looked back at all the NFL games that had a 2-point conversion where it played out the way in which you and I are talking about, I'm sure it's happened many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's great. And the Giants did it tonight. Obviously, they got it, made it a 15-point game. If they don't get it, they're down 3 scores. They didn't even get the ball 3 times.
Yep.
Crazy. All right, get to the stupid kicker in that freaking debacle.
I'm trying to think of what even to call it. I don't even know what to call it. He toe picked it, and the funny thing is, like, when I kept watching the like close up replay, I think he was because at first I thought like, oh, did he see something that made him stop last second?
Yeah.
I think he was trying to kick it, and he kicked the ground first so hard that he never got to the ball.
I've seen the turf monster get some guys. Daniel Jones, obviously, famously in that long run when he was playing, I think, the Eagles a couple of years back when he was on the Giants. When he was going right to the end zone. I've never seen a kicker get beat by the turf monster. I mean,
never.
It's so bad. Like the comparison of special teams tonight was crazy. I can't believe. And then, I mean, my God, you want to talk about leaving your punter and holder out to dry? He got destroyed.
Oh yeah. Because
the guy didn't kick the ball on the front. I'm like, go pound sand, dude.
Yeah. Speaking of special teams destroyed, Gunnar Olszewski got absolutely demolished tonight too.
Yep.
But yeah, it makes it funnier that it's Younghoe Koo because he's on his fourth team already. Like the guy gets cut constantly.
Yep.
And then he's picked lasted up. He's in good the league for longer than I thought. But oh my God, how do you miss the ball kicking a field where your plant foot doesn't slip? It's embarrassing.
And it wasn't raining. There was no reason for that.
He kicked the ground. He just kicked the ground. He chunked it.
What it did was gave for all those TV producers in New York, they gave perfect B-roll for them this evening that summarizes the Giants season. And it's just, I mean, it's a play that we'll see. Like, it's going to be one of those that I don't know if we'll see it as much as we saw that terrible Colts fake punt where it was one-on-one.
Oh man, when they snapped it back.
And he just got tackled. I don't know if it's on that level. I feel like it's close.
If the Giants were a better opponent, I think it would be a bigger deal. But butt fumble, Colts fake, whatever that was, and the Giants missing the ball. Yeah. It went down as a sack.
I am looking forward to whatever the New York Post and New York Daily News headlines are going to be off that, because that's going to be the image and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
They'll come up with something more clever than I can right now.
One other thing before, because I know we're gonna move on to a little game here in a minute. Can we also just quickly, and I want to preface this, I'm not putting anybody in the Hall of Fame. This is not no one's going to Canton.
Yep.
Can we just talk about the Patriots draft class? For all the years that we've talked about a horrible, for all the years we've talked about how horrible they are drafting, this is, again, new regime, so obviously fresh set of eyes. Will Campbell obviously looks like a very serviceable player in the NFL.
Competent left tackle.
Trevion Henderson.
Starting to get more carries than Stevenson,
At worst, he's a third down back. At best, he could be Jahmyr Gibbs light. Kyle Williams, obviously crowded room, not getting a ton of opportunities. Good kind of redshirt freshman year, obviously, but made a huge play tonight.
And
he's made a couple in the last few weeks, but looks like he's better than
he's gaining confidence.
Guys. Who are the guys that they had?
Jalen Polk, Javon Baker,
and Nikhil
Harry, go down the list. Aaron Dobson.
Even now we're into the third.
Josh Boyce.
Oh God. Now we're obviously Kyle Williams, third round. Jared Wilson, third round. Looks like a very serviceable left guard. Might be your future center. Obviously, pretty solid offensive lineman.
Georgia.
Craig Woodson.
Yeah.
Good safety. But one of the better tacklers on this team. Again, breaking down safety tackles is like talking about offensive linemen. But, my God, he makes some good open field tackles.
He did try to eat Theo Johnson's head at one point tonight. Well, but other than that, he was very good.
He's hungry. Joshua Farmer, fourth round pick, again, rotational defensive lineman.
Is this Joshua Farmer or Jeremiah Farms?
Joshua Farm.
Which Jay Farm are we talking about?
Jay Farm.
Yeah.
Don't know about Braden Swinson yet. Bork Allis, fine, sixth round. And then now you're into the seventh round. Marcus Bryant, fine. Whatever. Julian Ashby, the long snapper, fine.
Kobe Marcellus Dial.
It's just nice to have guys that even just looking back at last year's Drake May, Jalen Polk, Caden Wallace, Layden Robinson, Javon Baker, Marcellus Dial, Joe Milton, Jaheim Bell.
Yeah.
It's just combining the recipes there. You're making
building blocks.
Everything is there now. You have the coaching, you have the development of the quarterback in tandem with the offensive coordinator. You have a good offensive line coach. You spent a lot in free agency, added some key players at some key positions, and now you drafted well. And it's wow, this is how you go from 4 wins to potentially 13 or 14.
And it's a bigger, I'll maintain that it's a bigger cheat code than having the quarterback on the rookie contract is drafting well. Yeah. Because like that's the one thing with Belichick when he didn't draft well, and they like the Pats like never had good players but never had cap space.
Right.
Is because you don't have anybody on your roster that's performing that has a rookie contract. And instead of paying like 12 guys between $4 and $8 million a year, yep, you're paying 12 guys practically nothing.
Nothing.
So and like
that's, you have five starters there. Like I just, yeah, I Kyle Williams obviously isn't gonna start this year, but Will Campbell, Henderson, Jared Wilson, Craig Woodson, those guys are four starters right there.
Imagine the next 2 years getting six more guys like that.
Right.
It's a dozen guys making very little money playing like real snaps for you. It's important.
And it also helps that, and we talked about it, I think 2 weeks ago, they haven't whipped like all the guys they sign in free agency. I mean, I don't have the whole list in front of me right now, but not a lot of whiffs. I mean, Milton Williams, no, stud, Spillane playing very well, Carlton Davis playing very well, Morgan Moses playing very well. Like all these guys that they signed,
Diggs, they've hit them. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my. I think I'm good to move on. Yeah. I've gotten everything.
Matt Collins, yeah. All right, so the Patriots 11-2 back up top. They finally get their bye, so they're gonna have to play the same amount of games as everybody else after next week. All right, Craig, this week we had, let's see if I can do it off the top of my head without looking. The Ravens lose, by the way, garbage loss by the Ravens, probably the worst loss of the week.
That was atrocious.
The Chiefs lose again. The Colts lose. Yep. The Eagles lose. The Rams lose. The Lions lose. That's six teams that I think people had near the top of the league 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Maybe four of those teams a week ago. So let's get into a little bit of a playoff picture grab bag, or so to speak, that I put together. For anybody listening that doesn't know the playoff picture off the top of their head, the AFC now, it's New England, Denver, Jacksonville, Baltimore are your division leaders. Chargers, Colts, Bills are the wild cards, with Houston, somehow still Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. And don't forget Miami, 5-7 there.
Can't believe it.
And the NFC, your number one seed is the Bears, tied with the Rams. You got the Eagles, you got the Bucks, and then the wild cards are the Seahawks, Packers, Niners, and you got Detroit, surprisingly Dallas, and Carolina, all sitting right behind there. Carolina's a half game behind Tampa. So I'm going to go through some random questions. You're going to give me some random answers.
Okay.
First one, take your pick. AFC Championship game in Denver. Let's say both teams went out.
Mm-hmm.
Pats or Broncos, who you like in Denver?
I like Denver. Because you know what's funny? If they win out, that means that they've played some very impressive football over the last 4 weeks, or over the final 4 weeks of the season. I don't think they're going to win out. So I'd say if that's the case and it's in Denver, it's hard to pick against Denver.
I think I like Denver in Denver, and I think I like New England in New England. If those two teams,
100%. I do not like Denver here. I think would not play very well here.
Yeah. By the way, two, I think they're really similar teams, actually. I think they're more similar than people think. Denver's defense is a little bit better. Pass offense a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're both kind of strong in the same areas.
Yeah.
So that would be a good one. Next one. AFC South right now, in order, it's Jacksonville 8-4, Indianapolis 8-4, Houston 7-5. Yep. I don't have the remaining schedules in front of me. Don't worry about it.
Yep,
how does the AFC South, those three, how do those three teams finish?
I can tell you one thing. I think that can I kind of go backwards? I think the Colts finish third.
I think the Colts might miss the playoffs.
I think the Colts are cooked. You know, you asked me a month ago, I forget how we phrased it, but you said, are you concerned or not worried? We did something along those lines about a month ago. Yeah. I'd like to change my answer. I am concerned. Again, I am a schedule guy, so I will just kind of bring up, they play Jacksonville twice.
Yep.
Still,
big games. I still think they might be better than Jacksonville, though. They need to lean into Jonathan Taylor even more, but I think they're better.
I know. It's running's hard, you know. At Seattle, hosting the Niners, at Houston to finish the season.
Not easy. Not easy.
Daniel Jones, I mean, if they can't run the football, they're just a different team, and their defense is not very good. Sauce is hurt now. Yeah. Not that he's playing great since they got him. You know, I think Houston's probably going to win that division.
It's amazing. I think they might.
I really don't like Stroud. I know.
Neither do I. I'm not a Stroud guy either.
Not that, but I'm. Again,
you know who else I don't like?
Singing praises.
Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones.
I know. It's like somebody has to win that thing. But I would say the other thing: the Colts have already played 7 home games and only 5 road games, so they're on the road for a bit here.
Yeah,
I like the Texans to win that division.
I do too, and you know, shout out to the AFC South for not being a fraud division.
Yeah.
Like 2 teams, 8-4, 1-7-5. There's a chance that they have like 2 10-7 teams, 1 not making the playoffs, maybe 2 11-16. Like, you know, it's not a fraud division. No. But I also like the Texans. I think I like the Colts and then the Jags. I'm entertained by the Jags this year.
Yeah.
And like, if they make it to the playoffs, I'm not going to be like upset about that. Like, go, you know, good job, Jags.
Right.
But I still, I don't know, maybe I'm just too, giving the Colts too much leniency here. I still like what the Colts have on their team more than I like what the Jags have.
They're not making the playoffs.
They're just not playing well enough.
Stick a fork in them.
Love it. All right, speaking of sticking a fork in them, buy or sell, Chiefs will not make the playoffs.
Chiefs aren't making the playoffs, Rob.
I don't think they are either.
this was, we really should disagree a little more, but.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, I think they lose to the Texans on Sunday. I know they're home. I think that's the final nail in the coffin. It's just weird to me. And obviously, would I be surprised if they make the playoffs? No. What's weird to me is I just feel like they have everybody. Like,
I know.
It's not like and I know Rice missed a good amount of the seat, you know, early on in the year, but it's like Rice is playing well. They have him. Mm-hmm. They have Xavier Worthy. He's playing well. Kelsey's older, but he's still, you know, a top 15 tight end in the NFL. Mahomes is healthy and playing. I mean, fine, they have enough Pacheco. I just don't understand what's happening. Their defense, they feel like they have Chris Jones, they have Nick Bolton, they have guys out there. Like, why are they so bad?
It's not that they're bad. It's that last year, it's all flipping. Last year, they were like 9-0 in one score games this year. Last year, this year, all of their losses are one score games.
Yeah,
I believe they're not very good on the road. The end of their schedule, they have 3 difficult teams all at home, and then their 2 road games are against Tennessee and Vegas. So they'll have a shot. The problem is, there's teams ahead of them that they're gonna need some help.
Yeah, all those wild cards. They don't win many tiebreakers.
They're not winning 5 in a row.
No.
So I think 10-7 is their best
record. They can't win the division. The division's out of the question. They're too far back. So they're not winning the division. But they can't beat it. They don't beat the Jags in a tiebreaker. They don't beat the Bills in a tiebreaker. They might beat the Chargers in a tiebreaker if they beat them. And then however, you know, I'm not going into that math. But they just lose a lot of these key tiebreakers, and they can't win the division. So I think they really have to win out. I don't think 10-7 gets them in based on all their other losses.
I don't think they're winning out, but we'll see. Next one, buy or sell. The Ravens are not a threat to the Patriots, or just a threat in general.
I know what I texted you earlier, but they're a threat still. I mean, a very loose threat.
And we'll disagree here then.
Okay. I don't really think they're a threat in a sense that they're that good. I just think it's Lamar. Maybe they get, you know, I think they're winning that division. It'll be the first time he's in the playoffs where there's no expectation for him to play well. So you just kind of wonder if that changes the mindset a little bit of him and the team of like, well, we're not the 1 seed. We're not the 2 seed. We're barely in this thing with a 4 seed. Win a couple games. You know, Derrick Henry runs the ball well. They figure it out. They're not a scary threat, but I feel like they're more dangerous than Kansas City because they're going to win the division. They're going to get a home game and see where that goes. And I just think the bar is so low for them this year that maybe it kind of flips the script for them.
Yeah, they're not a threat, in my opinion. I think their defense has stunk all year. It's even with Lamar in, Lamar out, their defense has been bad.
Yeah.
And it would be different if they were like the Chiefs, where they're just like constantly having postseason success,
Yeah.
And like they can kind of lollygag through the regular season, figure it out, and then make it to the playoffs. The Ravens can be 15-2 and they suck in the postseason.
Yeah.
So now what? They're going to be 9-8 and I'm supposed to be like, oh man, here come the Ravens. No, they're going to do what they always do, except they're even worse at it this year. So no, I'm calling the Ravens not a threat. Okay. I'm done with them. I picked them to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. I'm glad I'm wrong. And
nope, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong until they get eliminated from the playoffs.
They're eliminated from the playoffs.
oh, you trust Aaron Rodgers calling out his whole team. Good for you.
As of now, the three wild card teams in the AFC are the Bills, Chargers, and Colts. Let's assume that that's the wild card. Yeah. Of those three teams, who is the hardest out? Bills, Chargers, or Colts? I already know you're not picking the Colts, so it's going to be Bills or Chargers here.
And you're saying hardest out for the Patriots?
Sure, or in general. Yeah, well, it's the hardest team to beat.
I think the hardest team for the Patriots to beat would be the Bills.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers could be tougher for other teams. I think it just depends what Hampton looks like when he comes back. And obviously Herbert's, this all changes if Herbert is hurt more than let on. But look, Josh Allen has played in a lot of big games. Obviously hasn't gotten to the big one yet, but they're 8-4. I feel like people are acting like the Bills are 6-6.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think they're that.
The Bills are better than the Ravens and the Chiefs this year. Like, I think part of that is the schedule too. They obviously have a very similar schedule to what the Patriots have faced in terms of facing the NFC South and facing some easier competition. But look, I mean, the Bills, for what it's worth, looking at the schedule, the Bills have beaten Baltimore in week one, which obviously that was a 41-40 game.
It was wild.
Yep. So they beat Baltimore. They've beaten Carolina 40-9. They beat Kansas City. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Pittsburgh. All those teams are at least playoff-ish.
Yeah.
And they lost to Houston 23-19 when Josh Allen just got the snot kicked out of him.
Yeah.
I think the Bills are better than people think. I'm very fascinated by that game when the Patriots play them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I also can't. The big thing for me is the Chargers have no tackles. I still don't think the Chargers can beat really good teams right now, the way they're constituted. All right, take your pick. Who? This is your question of the week, really.
Yeah.
Who wins the NFC South? The Panthers or the Bucks? Bucks are 7-5. Panthers are 7-6. They play each other twice left, right? Two games left against each other.
Yeah, even though I have my Chris Olave Saints sweatshirt on right now, it's definitely the Panthers. They are my Carolina Panthers.
They are your Carolina Panthers.
You can go back into the archives, first episode.
Yeah,
I picked the Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South at the beginning of the season or before week one. I'm not changing now. I can't change my pick now. It's so weird because the Carolina Panthers are a team that I will randomly text you about because they just don't make any sense.
Neither
of us have any stock, any real reason to be interested in the Carolina Panthers, but they just somehow they get blown out and then they win games. They get blown out and then they win games. It's crazy.
The win over the Rams was the first time where I was like, okay, maybe Carolina has something here. And, Tet McMillan is a real player. He's a good player, man. Yeah, he's been awesome. You look at it, I don't think they have a receiver over 300 yards besides him, and he's almost at 1,000.
Yeah.
So they just that's where Bryce Young goes. Their running game, Dowdle and Hubbard are really, they have a good two-headed monster. Their defense is like, hanging in there. I'm kind of shocked.
How are they 7-6? How?
The funny thing is, like, they've beaten some decent teams too. It's not like
they have more wins than the Chiefs and the Ravens. They have more wins than the Chiefs and the Ravens.
They have not played like the easiest schedule, and and we know that they got smoked by the Atlanta Falcons earlier this season.
Yeah, 30-0.
Or did they beat them? No, they beat them 30-0. I'm sorry,
30-0. Yeah, they got smoked by the Pats. They got smoked by the Bills.
Yeah, so they beat the Cowboys.
Yep.
They beat the Packers in Green Bay
at Lambeau. Yep.
They beat Atlanta they swept Atlanta. They beat them, and they beat the Rams.
Everybody.
Now, to be fair, they got smoked by the Pats. They lost to Jacksonville and Arizona early. They got smoked by the Bills, and they lost to the Saints. How do you lose to the Saints? They should be 8-5.
They're gonna miss the playoffs because they lost to the Saints.
By the way, they have a bye week this week, and then they go to New Orleans. So,
by the way, afraid. Has there ever been this many bye weeks late in the season?
Like, this is crazy. I hate the spread out, but I mean, I get it because, like, I think they're trying to avoid those, like, slates where it's like, you get half the games. But it is kind of crazy that teams still haven't had buys.
Yeah.
All right. Buy or sell, Eagles are cooked. And by cooked, I mean, like, they could still make the playoffs, but they're one and done.
They're cooked. There's something going on there. They're cooked as long as they keep the offensive coordinator calling plays. If they decide there's still time. If they decide to change it, I think there's still time to change it. If they do change it, they are not cooked. But right now, they are some angry birds.
Has there ever been a more overblown two-game losing streak? Like, they came out of the bye. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay, and then they beat Detroit. And then they lose a game in Dallas that they were up 21-0. And then they lose to a 9-3 Bears team at home. And it's like, the sky is falling. And you know what's funny? I agree. I think the sky is falling.
They do. They look terrible, dude.
Their offense sucks. And the thing is, like,
painful. That's why I told you I didn't want to watch the night game the other night.
Yeah. Everybody wants to say, like, oh, well, it's Sirianni first. Or like, oh, it's no one's saying Jalen Hurts is playing poorly. It's not just on the offensive coordinator. It's on Hurts. It's like, here's the fact of the matter. 2022, Hurts is the quarterback. Sirianni is the head coach. Top 10 offense. 2023, Sirianni is the coach. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Top 10 offense. 2024, Sirianni is the coach. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Top 10 offense. 2025, Sirianni is the coach. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. 25th in the league in offense. What changed, Craig?
Coordinator.
Yes, come on, like, stop this. And it's like, oh, well, Jalen Hurts doesn't want to run this. It's like, call the play. He's not gonna just, what's he gonna do, let the delay game, take a delay game, be like, no, I'm not running that play. Like, stop with this. Stop with the, like, oh, well, he doesn't, that's, this is the offense he wants to run. No, it's not. He doesn't want to go three and out 50% of the time. Like, give me a break with that.
Their offense sucks. Their offense is terrible. It's not that it sucks. Yeah. It's terrible.
I know.
The reason why, and I obviously you know this, the reason why the sky's falling with a two-game losing streak is because the two games they won, they scored 10 and 16 points.
That's true, yeah. And then they scored 21 and 15, yeah.
Yeah, you can't score 16 points and expect to win football games. I don't care who your defense is. So it's like, the sky is falling. And look, they have, what, Monday night against the – am I looking at this right? Monday night against the Chargers?
Yeah.
Which we'll see what Herbert does. But it's like, I don't know, dude. If the Cowboys were 7-4-1 instead of 6-5-1, I'd be concerned. The Cowboys are covered. Yeah, they look good. They got a little mojo going. Pickens is playing out of his goddamn mind.
Yeah.
They'll still fold. Like, I can hear my good buddy Raul Martinez in my ear saying, "Yeah, the Cowboys will find a way to blow this."
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Eagles are still going to win the division, but it's not going to be pretty. It feels a lot like 2023, and the fact that it's not the same issues, but it's the same feeling that, like, they'll limp to the finish and then they'll bow out early in the playoffs. Which is a shame because they've beaten a lot of good teams this year. Maybe playing that many good teams has kind of, you know, wore on them a little too much.
But also be fatigue. Played a lot of games.
I'm going cooked. This is a fun one. Over under Bears playoff wins 0.5.
Over. They're going to win a playoff game. They will.
I'm not sold. I'm not sold. You know, Caleb Williams right now would become the first team in NFL history to earn a one seed in their conference with their quarterback finishing dead last in completion percentage. They're weird in the fact that, like, Ben Johnson is getting every little ounce of offense he can out of this team. And yeah. Good for him. Good for him. But, like, I'm still – I don't know. Let's say they get one seed.
I don't think I've ever seen this, but I know we haven't worked together in a few years now. But have you ever had a good show and then just, like, rip your shirt off and you're like, you know what, this is a damn good show I just produced?
Daily occurrence. Daily occurrence, yes. My shirt is never on post-show. Good for Ben Johnson, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't – I still don't look at them and trust that, like, they're going to beat Green Bay at home in the postseason. I just don't see it. I don't
– I can see it.
You're going to need a better quarterback play.
I think they're better than you think. I do.
They win games by, like, nothing. Although I will give them credit, I think they've entered positive point differential.
Point differential.
Plus six.
There you go. Plus six for a 9-3 team.
Good for the Bears, who beat the Vegas Raiders by one and the Commanders by one in back-to-back weeks. They beat Cincinnati while giving up 42 points. They beat the Giants by four. They beat the Vikings by two. They beat the Steelers by a field goal.
Yep.
And they're going to Green Bay. They still have Green Bay twice. They still have San Francisco on the road, and they still have Detroit at home. So we'll see. But either way, I think it's fun that the Bears have the one seed right now, so good for them. Mm-hmm. All right, last one. Take your pick. Name the two best teams in the NFC.
The two best teams in the NFC right now?
Yeah, I don't even think I have an answer.
I think it's the Rams and the Bears.
I think it's the Rams. I can't say the Bears. I'm sorry.
Well, I can.
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
It's not the Eagles.
No, it's clearly not the Eagles.
It might be the Cowboys.
Honestly,
it might be the Cowboys.
Might be the Rams and the Cowboys. I'm not. The Cowboys might be a top four team in the NFC right now. They may not make the playoffs. I'm going to say it's the Rams. Ah, God, Seattle has looked so average lately, but it might be Seattle.
I've seen enough of Darnold. It ain't happening for them.
I know, but you know what's funny? They still should have beaten the Rams that game. I'm going to go with the Rams and the Seahawks. All right, well, that ends what I thought was a pretty enjoyable grab bag.
Yeah.
You want to look at the upcoming week?
Yeah, so we're obviously Monday night episode. Normally we tape on Sundays after a game, so we're not really looking ahead as much. But now that this is going to get posted on Tuesday, and a little look ahead to week 14, which will be Patriotless, along with Pantherless. If you're a Carolina Panthers fan, so I will not be texting you on Sunday about the Carolina Panthers. No Giants, no 49ers. So four teams on bye. Here we go. Ready? Against the spread.
I'm ready.
I will say this. We'll do this rapid fire. And when we did this a few weeks ago, Rob got the W. I don't have the official stats.
I forgot about that.
But Rob took a W by a couple games. So I'll see if I can get him back here. Thursday night, the best team in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys, are visiting the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Two teams that are currently out of the playoffs but need W's. Detroit at home, favored by three.
Cowboys. I'll take the Cowboys plus three. I mean, they're playing great. I think Dan Campbell's done a really poor job of calling plays ever since he took it over. I'm not in love with the way the Lions are playing.
Lost to the Bears, right? I'm trying to think who Detroit lost to. No, it wasn't the Bears.
They lost to the Packers.
Packers, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Lions.
All right,
I'm gonna take the Lions.
I mean, I like Dallas, but
Dallas is due for a letdown. Like, everyone's pumping their tires, and
you know what they're due for? A loss that is solely because of either a crippling mistake late or a crippling referee call. That is what the Cowboys are due for.
No games on Friday. We're going into Sunday now. We got a full busy slate here. Seattle at Atlanta. Seattle on the road, favored by 7.5.
It's a lot, but have you seen Kirk Cousins play? It's disgusting. I'll take the Seahawks.
I'll take
Seahawks minus 7.5.
I'll take him as well. Cincinnati at Buffalo. Cincinnati, a little life with Joe Burrow back under center. Bills favored by 6 at home. Not sure what the weather is going to be in Orchard Park.
So I think the Bills will win, but I'm going to take the Bengals plus 6 to cover. I think halfway through that game, people are going to be like, oh, Cincinnati, and then the season will end for them. But I still like the Bills to cover. The Bengals to cover.
Last time we did this, it was Cincy at Pittsburgh, and I took Cincy to cover, and they lost by 22. I'm learning my lesson and going with the Bills minus 6.
All right.
Give me the Bills. Let's break some tables. Tennessee at Cleveland. Oh, my God. That's a real game?
That is a real game.
Oh, my Lord.
Did you see the over-under on this game?
It's 33.5.
33.5.
Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders is favored by 4.5 at home.
It's up to 4.5.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me.
You don't like the 4.5 line.
The Panthers are yours. The Browns are mine. Browns minus 4.5. Give me the Browns.
Can I take Myles Garrett over 4.5 sacks in this game? That's what I want.
Sure. Yeah. That would probably hit. Yeah.
No, I would. I'm gonna take the under 33.5. I was gonna say,
is this a game where you take the under and just not watch it, or is it a game where you take the over and just root for any points to be scored?
You have to be a psychopath to take the over in this game.
33.5 is nothing.
I know.
But by the way, I would also take the under.
It's Cam Ward against Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I know. The only way this game's getting over is if the defenses or special teams each score a touchdown.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. The Fighting Marcus Mariotas. Am I saying that correctly? Given what we learned.
Oh, that was so weird. I don't even want to.
So weird. That. And we don't. Maybe Jaden Daniels is back. I don't know. Washington Commanders at Minnesota Vikings. Ugh. Washington on the road, favored by 1.5. J.J. McCarthy expected back at quarterback.
What does this tell you about J.J. McCarthy? My God. The Commanders are going to cover home on the road. God. No, I'm going to take the Vikings just based on principle. I hate J.J. McCarthy. I'm going to take the Vikings plus 1.5 at home. It's a 3-19 coming into town.
I'm going to take the Vikings too. I feel like Justin Jefferson is going to get 35 targets this game.
Yeah, this feels like the Apple cup from 10 years ago.
Yeah, God. 20. Miami on AFC East battle. How about this? The Finns at the Jets. The Jets who've shown some life with Aaron Glenn, and I just want to keep watching the Aaron Glenn dancing to September meme.
They're going to drop like 6th in the draft.
Poor Vinny. Miami at the Jets. Miami favored by 2.5 on the road. Somehow they're 5-7.
Yeah, I'll take the Dolphins. They're playing well.
I'm going to take the Jets.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Jets at home. I like it. Plus 2.5.
Different teams.
The Saints at the Bucks. Bucks at home favored by 8.5.
Bucks. I'll take the Bucks. Yeah, it's a big line. I thought about the Saints to be funny, but I can't.
No,
do it.
No, you're under 4.5 wins though for the Saints is going to hit. Big AFC South, Colts at Jags. Colts on the road favored by 1.5. I'm going first. Give me the Jags.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, I'm taking the Colts. Yeah, this feels all like right. One of those Vegas ones. The Vegas wants everyone to do Jags money line 1.5, yeah. I'll take the Colts.
Another big playoff. Game. Steelers at Ravens. Ravens at home, favored by one of your favorite lines, 5.5 points.
Oh God, the stay away line.
Yep. This is when you go to the blackjack table instead of being at the sports book.
I feel like the Steelers are kind of so here's my thought. You ready for my bold prediction?
I've been waiting 54 minutes for your bold prediction.
Mike Tomlin and the Steelers part ways at the end of the year.
Oh, a little mutual?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It might even be more Tomlin leaving, but I think he's done there, and I think the Steelers are probably ready to move on. But I think the Steelers pretty much collapse the rest of the way. I'm going to take the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tomlin. I think
it's a rivalry game. I think I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Ravens to win, Steelers to cover.
Yeah, Pittsburgh 5.5 feels like a lot in that rivalry.
Yeah, it does.
Denver on the road at Vegas, looking to tie the Patriots at 11-2. Denver 7.5 point favorites on the road in Sin City.
Do they win games by more than 7.5?
You tell me.
Holy crap. All right, ready for this?
Yep.
Since September 29th, the Broncos have won every single game that they've played. They've won one game by more than four.
Did they play the Raiders already this year?
They have. They beat them 10-7 on a Thursday night. The same the same week that the Eagles ended the week with a 10-7 win. You know what? I'm going Raiders.
Okay.
Prove to me that you can beat a team by more than four before I have to bet on you to win by more than four.
I mean, for what it's worth, 48 hours ago, or well, 24 hours ago, they beat a 3-win Washington team on the road by 1 point. So
yeah,
these are two teams that know each other. I'll take Denver. I've seen enough of the Raiders. They're
putrid. They're
horrible. Bears at Pack.
We got this line tells you everything you need to know about the Bears.
Bears at everything Packers.
You need to know.
Packers -6.5. You know what I'm picking. Give me the
number
Bears.
The number one seed in the NFC is 6.5 point dogs.
The Bears are gonna cover this one.
I honestly, you know what? Packers to win, Bob, but Bears to cover. 6.5 is a huge line for a rivalry in division game between a 9-3 team and an 8-3-1 team. No, I'll take Bears to cover, but not to win.
We got three games left.
All right.
Rams at Cards, where you can get in for as low as $25.
I love Glendale. It. I would go.
Rams 8.5 point favorites on the
road. I'll take the Rams. They're coming off a loss. Yeah, I'll take the Rams indoors. Coming off a loss.
I'm gonna take the Cards
-8.
Give me the points.
The plucky Cards stuck at 3-9. By the way, Gannon's got to be gone soon, right?
Yeah, bottom five will come back next week. He'll be in there. Houston Sunday Night Football. Houston at Arrowhead, where tickets are as low as only $52. To see the 6-6 Chiefs.
I bet the weather's going to suck.
Chiefs are 3.5 point favorites at home against the Texans.
Texans +3.5. Right?
Yeah, Texans.
We just talked about how much the Chiefs stink.
Yep, give me the Texans. And then Monday Night Football, let's wrap this puppy up. Eagles at Chargers in primetime in Inglewood. Eagles. Coming off there, just trying to avoid a horrendous three-game losing streak. They are 2.5 point favorites at the Chargers. Obviously, Herbert's status will affect a lot of things here.
So I think even if Herbert plays, he's got a broken other hand that he's just had surgery on. Their tackles are garbage. Eagles' defensive line is
He's doing good. It. He's talking himself into it.
Here's the other thing. It's a mini buy. Eagles are going Friday to Monday. It's a mini buy. It's based the same as a Thursday night game.
Can I also offer the over under at 40.5? Because I'm gonna have thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean it feels like under, but
I'm going under. That's my pick. Yeah,
but we're picking the spread. Give me
so much pain.
Give me the Chargers. I said the Eagles are cooked. Give me the Chargers.
Oh, boy.
I said they were cooked.
Oh, boy.
I'm hoping I can reverse jinx this thing. But I think the Eagles are cooked. I'm going to go Chargers. The Eagles season might end this one.
The Eagles are cooked, but they're going to win this game.
They better. Because then after that, they got Vegas. They got two against the Commanders. Like, figure this out. At least give me, like, some hope.
We need some more primetime games. These late night recordings are way better than the Sunday 1 o'clock games where you forget everything that happened and then this is great.
I will say I thought we had a strong pod the last couple. I think we're on a we're you know what I would take us to cover.
We've had
a winning streak. Or are we due for like a letdown?
Well, viewership was down over Thanksgiving, so we'll need to get our friends and family to get back in the groove again.
I mean, I don't blame anybody. I listen to zero podcasts. I watch like no TV besides like
no hard feelings. But really,
how was your, you know what? How was the Claudney Turkey Day?
Turkey Day
should have lied with that.
Yeah, but that's all right. Well, you know, it's like it feels like it was 10 days ago at this point. You know, it's all good. Everybody's good. I had no major traveling. Had a lot of busy weekend with soccer tournaments and you know a lot of we saw Zootopia 2. Fun little adventure.
I heard it's good.
It was very good. Good weekend. Long weekend. You know, that Thanksgiving, when obviously we both have you know, two kids each. That's a grind. That's a long stretch from Wednesday to Sunday to keep them entertained and keep them happy and fun. It's cold out. You can't really do a ton outside. It's just, you know, it's just by the time Monday rolls around, you're pretty happy that everyone's going back to
just wait till Wednesday, Christmas Eve this year when our kids have 11 days off.
So I'm dreading that's a whole podcast episode right there.
Yeah. Well, we did 6 hours of the car both ways. We survived. Yeah. We survived our trip. You know who I saw this weekend?
Who's that?
Where I watched the Eagles and lose to the Bears was at Jack Lochran's house.
Oh, the bartender.
Yeah, our tradition 3 years ago, we went over there the day after Thanksgiving so the kids could eat pizza together.
Yeah.
And we said we'd make it a tradition the next year. Jack was out reffing, and then the year after that, I had a 6 month old, so we didn't travel. So the tradition continued this year. We got pizza.
Yeah.
All the kids played, and we watched the Eagles lose. So. Yeah. The tradition continues. Yeah.
Well, how's it to Jack Lochran, a loyal viewer?
Indeed.
First guest on the show. We got to get him back on soon.
We do. We got it. We got our annual Rose Bowl text chain too.
Yes.
We were at the 2004 USC UCLA game at the Rose Bowl, which caused many good memories. Yes, we'll get into that another time. When we have our LA reunion episode.
Yes, that'll be after the football season.
Yeah. All right. Well, for now, another Patriots win, 11-2. They might go to the Super Bowl, Craig. They might go to the Super Bowl.
It's crazy.
We will see. Until then, next week, we have a short week this week, so make sure that you start hydrating immediately.
Yes, always.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It is the bye, too. We'll figure out what we're doing.
We'll figure it out.
We'll just Sunday at noon. We'll just re-preview all the games.
I think next week we just pull apart all of our picks that we just made.
You know what? It might be the LA reunion episode, actually. All right. Well, for Craig, I am Rob, and we will see you next week.